Book of John, we're going to a very familiar portion of Scripture, Scripture that you often hear read perhaps at a funeral service, but powerful Scripture that we need to know, Scripture that's hated by much in the world today, in the world of religion in particular. I want you to go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, we're going to read about the first six verses. I had time to read all of it, I'd be great, but I better not take it this morning. John 14, and we'll read through about the first six verses here. And I want to speak to you on a little bit of a catchy title. I want to talk to you about a round trip to heaven. When we think about buying a ticket at the airport, most of the time you can buy a round trip ticket now for maybe less than what you can one direction. Strange way that kind of thing works. We generally think about a trip anymore, think about airplanes. I almost was in sympathy for the guy that pulled the chute and got out of there. I've seen the time when it took forever to get out of there, when you're trying to get your luggage and get out, and you're on the tarmac out there, but of course, I guess he was a nut. Of course, I've seen some other nuts on there too, but anyway. Round trip to heaven talks about going and coming. I've got a book in my office, and I've shared it with some of you, called To Hell and Back. I don't know if I've ever seen one. Maybe there is one or two out there written to heaven and back, and you've got all kind of the near-death experiences that people talk about and all that sort of thing. The book I have by a medical doctor, Maurice Rawlings, his experience in the emergency room of bringing people, resuscitating people, and bringing them back after they were dead. I mean, in the sense of dead for a few minutes, no heartbeat, no breath, so forth. And the horror stories he tells of so many of them saying, "You pull me back from the very edge of hell. I was looking in hell." And you say, "What do you think about that?" "I don't know. I don't know. I know hell's real." Right. Whether God lets somebody see it or not. He said, "One thing I'll tell you. Every one of them I ever brought back that said they saw hell," he said, "they never lived the same way." He said it changed their life. Amen. He said, "I can testify to that." John chapter 14, Jesus, of course, is speaking here. And he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Now, I'll just expound a little bit. He's talking to mostly to his immediate disciples. They know he's going away. He's told them that. The events in John are very condensed, even compared to the other gospels and the last gospel written and so forth. And Jesus is telling those that believed in him, he's about to go away. And he says, "In my Father's house are many mansions." The ladies were singing about that a while ago. "And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." If you go through the book of John and you underline the little word, "I am, I am, I am." You know, John was showing Jesus as the Son of God. He was speaking of the deity of Christ. Do you remember at the burning bush when Moses asked who was talking to him? "Who's God? What, God, what's your name?" He said, "I am that I am." And John is showing you that Jesus was the high God. He was the Lord God Jehovah. He was God incarnate. And you'll read in John where Jesus said, "I am the light. I am the bread. I am, I am, I am." He was all those things. And so he says here, "Where I am." You understand where the great I am is? That's where I'm going because I'm saved. "There you may know be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way I know." Now, Thomas was like some of us thick heads. He saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whether thou goest. How can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me." That's why religion hates that last verse. Because Jesus is the only way. Amen. Now, we think about trips. When I think about a round trip to heaven, I don't know about you, but I'm old enough to remember trips when they were not as easy as they are today. I remember when folks packed lunches for a pretty long trip. I'll tell you what, I don't like the airplanes, but I didn't like the Greyhound bus either. Especially in the old days, you felt like you'd been in a smokehouse when you got off of that thing. Your clothes stink for a month. Trips used to be a little bit harder, but now it's amazing. It's amazing you can get on an airplane and go around the world in a few hours. But it's predicted in the Word of God. In the book of Daniel, we're told that Daniel said that in the last days, he's talking about where knowledge would be increased. Many would run to and fro and knowledge would be increased. There's your jet age and your computer age all in one verse. And all you got to do is roll back the calendar a little bit, pick it up 75 years ago, 100 years ago, and look at what has happened. From a horse and wagon to a T-bottle Ford, baby, and on up to today and the super highways that we have today, as well as the airplanes and other things, Daniel said that many would be running to and fro. It'd be a day that the knowledge would be increased. And today, knowledge is a commodity. It's sold. In fact, you folks in the computer age, you know what I'm talking about. You're buying software, and pretty soon it's out of date, and you want something else, and all that business. But that's the day we live in. Now, in the context here, Jesus is telling them he's going away. They didn't want to hear it, but he's trying to get them to understand. Now, I want to kind of put a little bit in context, get a bird's eye view of the scenario I'm talking about. I'm talking about I've got a round-trip ticket to heaven. You say, all I want to do is get to heaven. No, no, there's more than that. There's more than that. To begin with, we begin by leaving this earth. I mean, he's talking in these verses here that he's going to leave, but he's also saying we're going to leave. Now, that's the rapture. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, it says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the trump of God. What's going to happen? That's what we call the rapture. That's the time we believe that the saved people are going to hear a trumpet that the lost don't hear, and we're going to disappear, meet the Lord in the air, and the scripture tells us we're going up to be with him. Now, he said in these verses here, if I go away, I will come again. And he says that where he is, we will be also. That's what the verse says. Now, that means we're leaving this earth. Now, I want to pose the question. What's going to happen behind here? What's going to happen down here when we're gone? What's going to happen on earth? I tell you what, there's a lot of folks got plans, and you and I are restraining those plans right now. They're doing some evil today, but we are a thorn in their side because we're saying it's wrong, it's against God, it's against his commandments, it's against his book, and so they don't like it because we're spoiling their fun. And we are being used, the Holy Spirit within us, to restrain evil to a degree today. And if you think it's bad, you just let that restrainer be gone. And brother, things, I mean, in a true sense, all hell is going to break loose on planet Earth. Now, there's a crowd today. They want to do some things that we're kind of holding back a little bit. If you can't understand what's going on in the world today, put it in this perspective. There is a global plan being worked against God. There's a global unity planned and being worked on that causes you and I not to hardly understand what in the world is going on. I tell you, it explains a lot of the events that we see today. So-called political unity, political correctness. I can't understand how out of the White House we can throw a dinner in honor of Islam's Ramadan, but we couldn't have the National Day of Prayer. You see, that's kind of, so how could that be? Because there's a unity plan. There's a plan to put, and that's why we have got, to, that's why we've got to accommodate Islam and other false religions that we're doing. That's what's going on. That's why we would push for Sharia law that would have a woman stoned. I mean, crazy stuff. You say, I can't understand that. For instance, they had this guy running around the country stabbing people. And their news media is in cahoots. That's a big word for you, I know. But in cahoots with the World Unity Plan. And that's why you can't identify jihad as being an attack on infidels. They're trying to say jihad's something personal inside. Yeah, it's personal hatred inside. That's what it is. Exactly what it is. This guy running around the country stabbing everybody, and the news media says he's an Israeli citizen. Why don't they tell us the truth? He is an Israeli citizen, but he lives in the Arab section with an Arab name and was on his own personal jihad. But you can't say that because we can't call them terrorists no more. Understand? I'm saying they got a unity plan coming together. They want to put it all together. And so we got the socialistic thing, and we got, it seems like we're wanting to bankrupt our government. It seems like socialism, and by the way, socialism always leads to getting rid of the middle people. You wind up with the elites and you wind up with the poor, and the middle class no more. Now, most of us would qualify as middle class in here today. And that's what socialism is going to bring. The dollar's gonna fall. You say, now, preacher, when's the dollar gonna fall? I'm gonna tell you. Don't miss this. I'm gonna tell you when it's gonna fall. Are you ready? You say, well, I got a couple saved. Don't worry about it. Pretty soon it won't be worth the paper it's written on. Say, when's it gonna fall? Listen close. It's going to fall after the trumpet sounds and God's people are called out. That's going to finish off the economy. That's why the mark will come in. That's why the world currency will come in. You know why? Because God's people are the hardworking, tax-paying people. And when they are called out, don't think it's not going to affect the economy, brother. It's going to affect it. In the meantime, get all the mileage out of it you can, but don't hoard it up. It's not going to last. It's going to disappear. You can't take it to heaven with you. All right. You can't. What's going to happen to earth? Well, Antichrist is going to set up his kingdom for a little while. It's being set up now. We're just kind of hindering it now. It's moving, but we're just kind of holding it back just a little bit. Out in California, you know, they voted to not let the homos marry, but the judge come in and overrule that. The vote of the people don't matter anymore. See, I mean, it's got to a crazy place in this country. And by the way, if you're going to put one world unity together, you got to bring in the false religions. You got to bring in the homosexuals. You got to put the whole homogenized mess together. And when you do, you find it's violating and attacking and being against the rules of God from cover to cover in this book. There's some verses in the Bible. If you were to turn over to Revelation, we've been teaching that, and I hadn't got this far yet. But over in Revelation chapter 11, verse 8, there's a mystery verse to a lot of people. That verse over in chapter 11, verse 8 and 9, talks about two witnesses being in the streets of Jerusalem. They're going to be killed by the Antichrist. They're going to be, after 3 days, caught up to the Lord in heaven. You remember the story. I believe the two witnesses are Moses and Elijah, but that's, you got a right to your own opinion, no matter how ridiculous it is. But anyway, verse 8 of chapter 11, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually, get the point now, spiritually, is called, capital S, Sodom, and Egypt, capital E. Egypt, a type of the world, Sodom, Sodom and Gomorrah, sodomy, homosexuality. You understand what it's talking about. If you got something other than the King James Bible, it took the word Sodom out of it because it's not politically correct. Where also, and here's the last statement, where also our Lord was crucified. Where was he crucified? He was crucified in Jerusalem. Why is God calling the city of God Sodom? Because in the tribulation period, there's going to be a Sodomite sitting on the UN seat, United Nations seat, in the city of Jerusalem. And it's going to be so that God calls it spiritually Sodom. That's how bad it's going to get after the rapture takes place. That's how bad it's going to get when the Spirit of God leaves in the people that are going to be called up. I'm saying to you that we're leaving earth. We're going to get away from here, and some bad things are going to happen down here on planet earth. But you know what? So how do you know we're leaving? Because I read over in Revelation chapter 2 and 3 about the message to the seven churches. And the last one before Laodicea, the liberal church, is the Philadelphian church. And God promised to keep them from the hour of temptation that would come upon the whole world. And you know what? Landmark, if you are saved, I'm talking to you as individuals, this church isn't going up. We got a pile of people on the roll. They're not even saved enough to come to church, much less go to heaven. Amen and amen. And the truth of the matter is that every church has got that. But it shouldn't be. You ought to be born again. You ought to be involved in the house of God. You ought to care about the cause of Christ. But anyhow, we're going to be called out as a Philadelphia church. We're not going through tribulation period. We're not. Stephen taught on it Wednesday night, brother, that day of wrath. That's not us. That's when the Lord is dealing with others. And we're going to be caught out. And that's what I'm saying. I've got a round trip, though. I'm going to heaven. I'm leaving earth. And what will be happening in heaven when we get up there? What will be happening? Well, listen close. There's a judgment seat going to take place. Read about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we shall all appear before the judgment seat to answer for the deeds done in the body. Not your sins. If you've been saved, somebody else paid for your sins. Jesus paid for your sins. Something you couldn't pay for. But after you're saved, your deeds, how you live, is going to be brought into account at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10. I know you're getting a little quiet. I fear it too. But I'll tell you one thing. If I stole God's tithe all the time, I'd fear it more. If I live like the devil claiming to be a Christian, I'd fear it more. If I dress like the world instead of a saint of God, I'd fear it more. If I went around boozing it up, doping it up, committing adultery, shacked up, everything else you name, I'd fear the judgment seat more if you're saved. And as far as you into all that, I wonder if you are saved. Because the Spirit of God bears witness in the heart with the one whether he's a child of God or not. And when you sin, the Spirit of God grieves you if you're saved. If you don't have no grief from the Holy Spirit, you better check up. You better check up. I'm saying to you, what's going to happen in heaven? There's going to be a judgment seat. Deeds after we're saved. Going to be tested. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that Jesus is the only foundation, but we have an opportunity to build on that foundation. And that our works will be like wood, hay, and stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stones, and they're going to be tested by fire. Now you test wood and straw and stubble by fire, it don't last very long. But gold, silver, and precious stones can endure the fire. The Lord says your works are going to be like that. Some of you go into the judgment seat, he says, and your works are going to burn away. You're not going to have any reward left. But some of you are going to be tested like the gold, silver, and precious stones. You're going to come through the fire, and there's going to be a reward. I'm talking about what's going to happen in heaven after we're raptured out. You understand? Something big's going on up there. We're going to be called before the judgment seat of Christ. Our works are going to be tested. And I say to you, if you want your works up there to stand the test of fire, you better separate from some of the bad stuff down here. Some of the wood, hay, and stubble down here. Some of the vanity down here. The truth of the matter is, it pays to serve God after you're saved. It pays to live a clean, decent, moral Christian life. It will pay here, and it'll pay up there. It will pay to honor the Lord and honor his cause. We just took up a special offering here. By the grace of God, people just gave and gave sacrificially. And by the way, you saw the report in the bulletin. Even since the bulletin was written, some more has come in from people out of state. And some of them not even church members, but friends and know of the ministry here. And I want to say to you, thank God for his people that he can speak to, that will be obedient to him and will be faithful to him. And I want to say to you, it might not look like to some of you that it's paying to serve God here, but when you get there, you'll understand it. Every now and then I pick up somebody's little sick statement about, well, down there at Landmark, y'all just require too much. Oh, help your pea-picking heart. Amazing. What do you spend your money on? Is it going to stand the test of the judgment seat? Somebody gives sacrificially to send a missionary to run a bus. How's that going to stand at the judgment seat compared to what you bought that you didn't even know you needed until you saw it in the store? Amen. Amen and amen. I amen myself, Mickey. Whole truth is the judgment seat's going to test some stuff by fire. Amen. Now, what's going to happen up there? Yeah, the judgment seat. What else is going to happen? The marriage supper of the Lamb. That's what the Bible tells me. See, the bride's going to be caught out. The church is going to be caught out. Now, you got that marriage supper pictured several times in the Bible. It's called a feast. You read over in Luke 14 where the Lord sent out his servants and to bring them all in because the supper was made. And you remember the excuses they made? I sometimes refer to those excuses as two morons and a henpecked husband. Because one moron bought some land he'd never seen. It takes a moron to do that. The other one bought him some oxen. He never tried them. He didn't know whether they'd pull or not. That was the second moron. Then the other one was a henpecked husband. Remember his excuse? He said, I can't come because I've married a wife. Amen and amen. Got an amen myself this morning. Must be getting close to home with somebody. As all the excuses, they wouldn't come to the supper that was made. And the Lord said, well, go out in the hedges and compel them to come in. Go out to the lame and the maimed and the blind and gather them all in. This elite crowd that didn't think they needed me. Boy, we got a crowd like that today. But the marriage supper of the Lamb is going to take place up there. In the context of this text here is a wedding picture. He's talking here to disciples that understood. See, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Ladies were singing about it. Jesus said, I go away to prepare a place for you. You remember the story how the Jewish boy went and got betrothed to the bride and he paid the dowry and he went home to the father's house to add on to his father's house to prepare a place for the bride that he was coming back for. These disciples saw the wedding picture and Jesus was saying, I'm going to my father's house. I'm going to get you a mansion prepared and then I'm coming back to get you. And when the trumpet sounds and the rapture takes place, he's coming back for his bride. Every time you go to a wedding and see a pretty bride come down that aisle, she's picturing the fact that one day the Lord is going to call his bride out. Going to assemble up there with him. There's going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb. What a time it's going to be. Down here, a Jewish wedding in the old days, they'd take a whole week. There was a festival experience after the vows were exchanged and the bride was found to be a maid and the announcement by the best man was made to the crowd. All right, the bride was pure. She was a maid. The wedding is consummated. And then they would go into a festive attitude and they would have a seven-day feast. I said 7 days. What's going down on the earth? Seven-year tribulation period. What's happening in heaven? Judgment seat, marriage supper of the Lamb. Bless God, I'd rather be there than down here. Amen. What's the difference? Jesus is the difference. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You want to be at the marriage feast or down here running from the Antichrist? Make your choice when you choose Jesus or reject him. He's the way, the only way. What's happening in heaven? Or the wedding in its context up there. And then, you know what? I said it was a return ticket. We're going up. What's happening in heaven? While we're up there, what's happening on earth? But wait a minute. Wait a minute. We're going to return. We're going to return. I said it was a round-trip ticket. We're going to return. Say, where's that, preacher? Well, go to Revelation chapter 19. You can see the return. Want to do that? Just flip right over the last book in the Bible. Pick it up in chapter 19. We'll pick it up in verse 11. And I saw heaven opened. In chapter 4, it's opened and some folks go up. The church goes up. In chapter 19, verse 11, it's open again. Somebody's coming down. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Now, understand, wars happen down here, but they're not always righteous wars. But this war is going to be a righteous war. True is his name, Faithful. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. No longer little Jesus, meek and mild, but Jesus of judgment. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And you've heard me talk about the name that the high priest could only pronounce once a year, the name of the real name of God. That's who he is. Verse 13, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God, capital W in your King James, capital T for thee, capital G for God. I want to say to you, Jesus Christ, Son of God, God incarnate, God the Savior, God the Judge, coming back as the Judge now. And the armies which were in heaven followed him. Here I am. Look at it. Look at it. Verse 14. And the armies, that's my return ticket. I'm in that army. I'm following my Savior. He's on a white horse. I'm on a white horse behind him. Clothed in linen, white and clean. Says, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. We know what the sword is. It's the word of God when Jesus speaks it. That with it he should smite the nations, and he should rule them with a rod of iron. That don't sound like that they surrendered. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness, the wrath of Almighty God, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh name written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hey, listen, the world's got a shock when we return. We come, you know, the plan today, they want to enthrone their own king. Their plan today is put all one world unity together. Their plan today is to rub out this old awful word, three-letter word called sin. They're trying to get rid of that. They are trying to put their man on the throne, but I got news for you. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's coming back, and he's going to rule forever and ever, and every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord to the glory of the Father. They don't win, they lose. You and I win. We're coming back with the armies of heaven. The return trip to earth. Oh, you read a little further and you see after we get back that the beast and the false prophet, the Antichrist and the false religious prophet that pointed to him and lifted him up. You read over there where they're both going to be taken and cast alive into the lake of fire. Oh, yes, that's their doom. You know, we have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a victory time is coming. Oh, you know, victory forever. I read in Revelation 22, after the millennial reign of Christ, after he's ruled and reigned for 1,000 years, after he's put all enemies under his feet, I read where the new Jerusalem is coming down from heaven, adorned as a bride, coming down to earth. I don't understand all about it, but I can tell you this much. Heaven's going to rule on earth. And when it does, it's going to be a different earth than what it is now. I say to you, you did a little bit down in the dumps. Well, preacher, things are going so hard. Well, just look to the end. Get excited about the end. If you're in Christ, if you've been born again, if your name's written in heaven, listen, you're a winner. The glory cannot be described with these fallen minds and tongues we have of what it's going to be like when Jesus Christ comes back and rules on a throne that is rightfully his. When all powers and principalities are put down and have to bow to him. Church, we need to wake up. We're the winners, not the losers. We go around dragging our bottom lip like everything is woe is me. No, no, no. We're temporarily waiting. And we're going to be caught up. We're going to have some things in heaven. We're coming back. Because it's on old planet Earth that men mocked Christ. It's on old planet Earth where sin seemed to reign. It's on old planet Earth where the devil had his way, and God is bringing us back to correct it right here. Oh, yeah, I know there's an eternity coming out there, but bless God, he's going to come back and set Earth right. And that millennial reign of his, when he rules with a rod of iron, he's going to fix things that we can't imagine being fixed today. It's going to be a glorious time. He's going to get the glory, and all the nations are going to have to bow to him. And the truth of the matter is, that one that is King of Kings and Lord of Lords is still able to care about me personally and live through his Spirit inside of me. If you're born again, that's what you have. Regenerated by the Spirit of God. Spirit of God living in you that will quicken your mortal body just like it did Christ if death comes first. But in the meantime, we're waiting. Did you ever gather in the gate area to wait till the plane could load? That's all we're doing. We're just at the gate. We're just waiting. And finally somebody will come out from behind the counter and announce you'd get on the plane. Well, we're waiting for an announcement. Trumpet's gonna sound. We're gonna be caught up. We're gonna meet him in the air. That's what he said. If I go away, did he go away? Yes, he went away. He said, I will come again. Will he come again? Yes, he will. Why is he coming? Going to get us to take us with him. Amen. And then his program is going to develop in heaven. It's going to develop on earth. And we're coming back to help in that when we return with him in his glory. You know, that's a trip I wouldn't want to miss. There's some trips I've had to take I wish I could have missed. There's some trips I would have liked to have taken, I never have. But this is one I wouldn't miss. When I was a kid, we'd get ready to make a trip, and it was a slow thing in those days. Bad roads and bad vehicles. I would notice mother beginning to pack for that trip, prepare for that trip. Maybe fix a lunch, get some clothes ready. She was preparing. And you know what? Right now it's preparation time for you and I. It's preparation time. Are you prepared? Are you prepared when it comes loading time? Is it that you're prepared when the trumpet sounds and when it's your turn to go up to be with the Lord? That's the promise that he has here in chapter 14. He told him he was going away, but he said, I'm coming again, that where I am there you may be also. He's coming again. You know, I don't know if you ever had the experience. I did once. And did you ever get left behind? Some of you kids went to sleep on the pew. Kid, did you wake up in church and you'd been left behind? We laugh about that a little bit. Not funny to the kid. Not funny to the kid a bit. Left behind. Left behind. That's pretty scary. Daddy wanted me to go in the truck with him one time, and I stayed at my girlfriend's house too late that night. He said, I'm leaving at 9. I thought, well, he'll wait on me. Somehow I got there about 10 minutes after 9, and Daddy was gone. And I felt bad about that. Left behind. One of the saddest stories, several stories came out of the Vietnam War when we were leaving Vietnam. We didn't leave in the most honorable fashion, and I feel so sorry for the men that bled and many gave their lives for the mess we made over there. But in leaving, helicopters was trying to evacuate various people in various groups. And they come more than one story out of somebody trying to get on the helicopter and reaching for it and missing it. To be left behind to sure death, the Viet Cong. Read a story where a man said as he reached and missed, and the helicopter kept rising and rising and rising. And the horror that he felt. That's not going to compare to the horror for some of you folks that are unsaved, radio landing in this building. The horror you're going to feel when that kid goes at the rapture. When that wife goes at the rapture, when that saved loved one goes at the rapture, and you're left behind. You're left behind. Some bad stuff going to happen on earth for those left behind. You're going to be left behind if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. He's your way out. He bought and paid for the ticket. It's a round trip ticket. You're going up with him and you're coming back. And you're coming back in victory, in his victory. Do you know him as Savior today? Please, please, don't miss it. Don't be left behind. Father, we